Okay, so on to tonight's topic. So tonight I'm going to be doing a continuation of the tarot card review. And I'm up to card number 12, but ordinarily I do a review of the last card, just so we can have a bit of continuity between the cards and trying to get a feel of how the cards, the numbers are stages of our work in this spiritual path. We went through the card number 11, which was persuasion. And we learnt in this card that through our own inner work that we do on ourselves, so the work that we do to understand and dissolve the ego, the meditation practices, and the works we do to connect with the higher parts of our being, that we gain force and strength, and effectively we gain dharma, so that circumstances are more favourable for us. So if we want something on the path, or we want to progress or eliminate ourselves of a certain circumstance or karma, then through our own work we'll have the force to do that. We have that persuasive force. So we also went through some of the principles of the law of karma and dharma, which is also known as the law of cause and effect. And so the conscious beings that administer that law. We also talked about the necessity to develop our own inner fire. So through this path, we're developing that fire, the Kundalini fire. And then also with that comes the merits to enable us to progress forward in our work. In tonight's show, we're going to talk about the tarot card number 12, also known as the Apostolate. So if we see this card, I'll go through some of the symbols. In the waters of life, which is the lower pane, we see the Pentacle of Solomon, which is a variant of the six-pointed star. So the three upper points here represent the three traitors. And the three traitors are a symbol for three aspects of ourselves. So we know about the three traitors from the Bible, but do we know that they symbolize parts of ourselves? So namely, the desire that we have, the mind and the ill will. So I think it's Pontius Pilate symbolizes the mind, Caiaphas ill will, and Judas is the desire. So it's interesting to reflect on those parts of ourselves. Now in the middle of the card, we see two columns and they each contain nine steps. So there's a white column and this represents the nine heavens, and the black column represents the nine infernal regions. There's a teaching that's inherent in this card, which is that in order for one to ascend, one must descend. And these pillars in a way represent that polarity of the need to descend to be able to ascend. This card really helps us to embrace that the fact that we need to descend, that we need to be prepared to go into ourselves, into our dark side, in order to awaken consciousness and to bring light into our subconscious. And, you know, the main image of this card is the Hanging Man, which gives us a clue for that work that this card represents. But we'll come back to that symbol of the Hanging Man because it's quite an important feature of this card. So the esoteric significance of this card, the number 12, in fact, represents quite a few things. It represents the 12 zodiacal signs. So we've been going through, I previously went through the zodiac one per month and I've been replaying those shows. So 12 represents those signs, the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 hours of cooking of the alchemist, the 12 faculties. So when we talk about the 12 faculties, that's our five physical senses plus the seven inner senses we have with our chakras or when they're developed. So together that makes up the 12. And it also is related to the hydrogen C12, which is in essence, our creative potency, what we want to develop through this work. The Master Samael says that the number 12 is a very complete number. So this number 12 represents the great work, or the magnus opus, and all of the science and philosophy of the great work we find enclosed in the number 10. So really it's quite a profound number for us to study, to understand. We may have an aversion to number 12. I think a lot of people may have that, particularly because it's a hanging man. It implies work. It implies sacrifice. But really, if we want to progress on the path, if we want the self-realization of all the parts of our being, of the lower parts, of the higher parts, then we need what's called the revolution of the consciousness, which is to die, to be born, and to sacrifice oneself. And I know it sounds a bit daunting when we hear it like that, but really it's all very achievable things, things that we can do in our day-to-day life. So the card number 12, as I said, implies sacrifice. It's the card of the apostolate of sufferings. We see a man hanging upside down. He appears to be still living. This symbol shows that we need to give something of ourselves. It symbolizes that a lot of struggle and suffering is needed for us to progress. So following on from the previous card, which was the card number 11, which is about having force and strength and circumstances to be in our favor, the card number 12 is a continuation of that inner work that we have to do to progress. In the card number 11, it wasn't a guarantee that the circumstances that are going to be in our favor immediately, but if we continue to do that work, then they most definitely will be. And any type of work we do in any type of field is always going to give us results. We just need to have the patience and the foresight to be able to see that, and not to lose hope that the work that we're doing is going to lead us to a better place, is going to lead to improvement in our lives, in our circumstances. It's also helpful to note that the number 12 adds up to the number 3. So 1 plus 2, which is a very pleasant synthesis. So number 3 signifies material and spiritual production, like creative, development, production, producing, making. And so the result of our work, our sacrifice, is that we gain. We gain whatever it is that we are working towards pursuing. And so it's obviously worthwhile to keep pursuing what it is that we want, which is the spiritual path, which is the awakening consciousness to all those parts of our being, the ones that we're not aware of, but exist. And we learn that through this work, through these teachings, that we are able to achieve this through time, through practice. All right, well, we'll take a music break. And I've chosen a track from the CD's Mozart's Requiem. So just the first track from that CD. And then we'll be back after that to continue on with that topic. So you're back on the Gnostic Waves. That was a track from the CD Mozart's Requiem. So that was track number 1, Requiem Aeternum. And so I'm continuing on the topic of the tarot card number 12. And I was talking about how this card is the hanging man. It symbolizes suffering, struggles, and the work that we do on ourselves. And there's so many different ways that we can sacrifice for the work, for humanity, for our partners. And when we work on the ego, when we don't express what the ego desires, what the ego wants, that is a form of sacrifice. And it's no easy feat as well. So if we are looking at an ego of anger and we are trying not to express that, then we can understand that can be very difficult. So we sacrifice our own anger. We sacrifice our fear sometimes. We might be paralyzed with fear and have a lot of anxiety. But when we work to understand that that fear is simply an ego within our subconscious, we can use those teachings to form a layer around it, to form a bit of separation. In that respect, we are sacrificing, we're giving up our fear for obviously a higher purpose, for our own happiness, for our own progress in life. And also it creates more space within us for something new, for the things that we want to experience, for the higher parts of our being, for more inspiration and for more positive emotion in our lives. So this idea of sacrifice is many different levels, depending on what we feel impulsed to do and how far we want to progress. But there is that strong element in this work, because if we want something that's new, if we want something different to change, then we need to give up what we have that's old. If we want to just stay as we are, not giving up anything, then nothing is going to change within us and our life will always be the same. But if we do want to change, to progress, to waken up to ourselves, to our life, then we need to offer something. And these are just universal laws and principles. So I wanted to talk about this other symbol that's very strong in this card. So between the two columns, we see a man that's hanging from one foot with his hands tied. With his legs, he forms a cross, and with his arms, he forms an inverted triangle. So these symbols don't really stand out, but it's explained that the uniting of the cross and the triangle represents the process of alchemy. And so the number 12 symbolizes what we call the work in the ninth sphere, the alchemy, or transmuting and internalizing our own creative energies. So we've talked about this multiple times on the show if we're a regular listener, or if we're a regular student of a Gnostic class, then we will know what this is about. The Master Samael explains that we are now in the age of Aquarius, and the topic of sex and our sexual energies is not as taboo as it was in the past age, which was the age of Pisces. So we're coming out of the age of Pisces and we're starting to enter into the age of Aquarius, the influence of that energy. And we've talked about this before, but just briefly, the age of Aquarius has already begun, and we can see that by just the changes in society and the amount of sexual expression that wasn't allowed or permitted in the past conservative age of Pisces. So we're able, well, the Master Samael, the founder of the modern Gnostic movement, was able to talk and teach about the wise cultivation of our creative energies. So the process by which we internalize this energy, conserve it, and not to waste it in the external world. So transmutation is one of the first practices that we teach in order to internalize and conserve our sexual energy. It's a practice by which we work with our mind, with our breath, and with the imagination. And we can use mantralization, we don't have to. But all together with those things, we move our energy from our creative reproductive organs, up the spine, through the chakras, and into the heart. And there it's further sublimated to transform into a spiritual energy. So we're taking our creative energy and transforming, transmuting, sublimating into a spiritual energy, which is really quite a profound practice and something that is quite unique to the Gnostic school, but it's not the only school that teaches the wise use and cultivation of this energy. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about some of the difficulties of transmutation, because the card number 12 is trying to show us that the path is not all flowers and picnics and days at the beach. So there's work to be done. There's difficulties to overcome. But through those difficulties, we attain the gold. So through the process of the alchemy, we achieve spiritual gold. And this is what helps us to keep going. So it's not just sacrifice for the sake of suffering and suffering alone, so that we may, through that, be seen as better people. No, it's a process of alchemy, of transformation. So taking that lid of the personality into the gold of the spirit. But we know that there's levels of understanding of the alchemy too, and that the practice that is taught is something that is more practical in these studies. So yeah, I wanted to talk about some of the difficulties of transmutation. So firstly, our instinctive center is not used to the practice of internalizing our sexual energy. We're used to that energy just being lost and for our desires to take that energy. And the unfortunate thing is that our creative energy influences each of the other centers of our human machine. So we have an intellect, we have an emotion, we have a motor center, instinctive center, and a sexual center. So if we're not balancing and using those other centers correctly, our sexual energy goes into those other centers. And so we can very quickly lose our vitality, our force, if we're not observing of ourselves and how we use our energy. Now, the balancing of the human machine, is not something we see overnight, but is a very big study. But we encourage anyone to be able to observe each of the centers of their human machine, how we are using and misusing them. For example, if we overthink or we worry a lot, fear can really drain our intellectual center. Negative emotions can make us feel really low and also drain our emotional center and our vitality. Our motor center, if we are not moving enough during the day or if we move too much, then we can misuse that motor center. And so we really want to encourage the use of the centers in a well-balanced way. The practice of transmutation, as described before, it helps to retrain our instinctive center to be accustomed to this new energy that flows through it. And it's important that our consciousness works through our instinctive center, because ordinarily we're not aware of our instinctive functions. They just happen in the background and we let them work by themselves. But if we can take our consciousness into the instinct, then we're going to be able to unfold the intelligence that is kept in our instinctive center. I mean, if we think about everything that goes on in our instinctive functions without us even knowing, then we would be just blown away. So if we become aware of that, obviously we're going to become more attuned with our bodies and more attuned with what we need to do with ourselves, what we need to eat, when we need to sleep, how we can have more energy. So these are the things of becoming aware of our instinctive center. So transmutation helps to bring consciousness to that center. Now, emotional blockages can also block the movement of our creative energy. And if our heart is struggling to open, or we have a lot of negative emotions, sadness, grief, resentment, then it's going to be difficult for that energy to be deposited or to go into the heart center. So we trace that energy up through the head, through the third eye chakra, and then into the heart. If our heart is not as open as it could be, then it's going to be difficult. So we're going to find the practice difficult and not to be as inspired to do it. So hopefully if we feel this way, we can work to develop that emotion, work to do things that create joy in us, listen to superior works of art, music, and do things that we enjoy and encourage the heart to be open. And there's other type of emotional blockages that we can have that make the movement of that energy really difficult. But I recommend, if we have a lot of those blockages and we struggle to work through them, to work with the stretching part of the teachings, the Lamasery exercises, because they can help us with those blockages and help the energy to move better, circulate better through our system, which can really help. I mean, at the end of the day, we need to comprehend what is blocking us and to work with the force of the Divine Mother to dissolve them. But we can also work physically with that energy to help that energy to flow better. Now, what I've found is that the ego doesn't really like transmutation. And this is because the ego within us is used to running the show. It's not one ego running the show. It's many different egos that are taking control at different times, that are projecting certain thoughts in our minds and emotions in our heart. But the energy, the ego is used to having and using the energy in its own way, in its own time. The energy is at its own disposal. When we start to transmute our energies, we're changing that direction of flow and where that energy is going. And so our egos don't really like this. When we decide to change that flow of energy and invest that into a higher field, i.e. our being, our egos tend to resist this and cause us to feel difficulty in this practice, distracting us, making us feel doubt, making us feel it's pointless, that we're not getting anything from it, that it's not making us happy. You name it, the ego will form a reason to resist it. And it's because this practice of transmutation, it's implying that we are sacrificing our own desires for a higher purpose, because nothing is created without sacrificing something, giving something to create something new. So like in any chemical equation, there's always two aspects that come together in an equation. Together, there's a reaction and then something new is created. So we start in this work having very heavy and stagnant energy, and it can be difficult to move. And it's often called, referred to as the mercury, the dry mercury that is heavy within us. So just some things to reflect on if we do struggle with the practice of transmutation, that it's quite normal and that there are things that we can do to help aid in that process. But becoming aware of the things that cause us resistance and overcoming them, annihilating them. So now I wanted to talk a bit about the transcendental axiom. So each of these cards has an axiom, which I really like to read out and talk a bit about, because if we're using the tarot cards as a form of prediction or to help us to make a decision, we may not know what the cards mean. The axiom can help us because it allows us to connect intuitively with the card. So I'm going to read it out for the card number 12. It says, "Even though the sun makes thou fatigued during the day, and the moon makes thou grievous during the night, thou shalt not take thy feet unto the slippery, neither thou shalt sleep when thou art on guard." So I think what I intuit that this means is that we are encouraged to keep working, even though we are working by day, working by night, we're fatigued, we are losing hope, losing faith, that we have to keep walking and not lose our guard. So keep up with the work, keep with the struggle, and to just to keep going, even though we feel like we can't work anymore or we've suffered enough, that we should keep going. And to not forget that through that hard work, through the number 12 synthesizes into 3, which is the material and spiritual production. And so that eventually that the work that we do is going to lead us onto something new, to the next step, to a next stage in our path, to a new octave in our work. Sometimes we get stuck in this work, and what we really need to do is to sacrifice something to move to a new octave. And it can be a difficult decision, but if we're able to overcome that pain we feel, that bitterness, to step up our work, step up to the next level, then so many things open up to us, so many things unfold that we didn't see before, and then that pain that we felt is like nothing. So when we look back at it retrospectively, we think, oh, okay, that pain didn't last. It was just there because we wanted to make a change in ourselves, and the hierarchy of our subconscious, i.e. the egos, don't really like change, even though it is good for us, good for our essence, good for our soul. And so when we can see past the 12 into the next cards, which we will talk about in due time, then we can see that, you know, things can result from that, things can grow. All right, we'll go to a second music break, and then we can do a practice. So this is a track from the CD Mozart's Requiem, A Benedictus. So we'll be back in a short while. So you're back on the Gnostic Waves. That was a track from the CD Mozart's Requiem. So now I'm going to get us ready to do the meditation part of tonight's show. So just getting the track ready. Getting ourselves comfortable in a position we can hold for the next 15 or so minutes. Taking a few deep breaths to revitalize the body and all the centers of our human machine. Revitalizing the mind, revitalizing the emotional center, the motor center, our instinctive center, and our sexual center, our creative center. Feeling that the breath has the power to do this if we allow it. If we work to breathe consciously, and even better if we can hold our breath for a couple of seconds before we exhale, to allow the prana that's in the oxygen to work within us, to help to activate our consciousness, to activate all those things that we have within us but we forget about in our day-to-day life. So in the meditation practice, we want to put into practice everything that we talk about in the show and apply this work. The meditation is a sacrifice. It's sacrificing what we would normally do, maybe watching TV or reading a book. Any other activity, we're taking that time, giving it to our consciousness, to those parts of ourselves that we ignore. So trying as much as we can to enjoy the practice. Enjoy the stillness and the serenity. If our mind tells us the practices are pointless, we reply that we disagree, we beg to differ. So let's start with some transmutation practice. We use the mantra Hum Sa. The mantra Hum is silent. So we breathe in, imagining that creative energy going up the spine to the third eye. We mentally pronounce Hum. We hold there and then we release. We say the mantra Sa. Imagining that energy going into the heart. Feeling with each exhalation, our heart is expanding, is growing, is feeling fuller, lighter. We can even do this mantra completely in silence. So no one can know. We're breathing in that energy, holding in the third eye, and then exhale into the heart. The imagination is vital in this practice. So we're our energy. Wherever we focus our energy goes. So now we're going to work with the seven main chakras in our inner astral body. After we go through them, we'll do some more transmutation practice, imagining that we're feeding each of those chakras, those energy centers. So we start with the mantras for the crown and the third eye, which is E. We say the mantra E three times. E. Next, we move to the throat chakra, the creative larynx, and we use the mantra air three times. Air. you focus in the heart, the chakra that balances the three superior chakras with the three inferior chakras. It has 12 petals, interestingly enough. So we use the mantra O for this chakra. We move into the solar plexus, that very sensitive, receptive part of our body, of our inner body. And we work with the mantra Ooh 3 times. To the chakra in the lungs, pulmonary chakra. This chakra, when developed, helps us to remember our past lives. Let's use the mantra Ah 3 times. Next, we move to the chakra in the sexual center. And we use the mantra M 3 times. We move to the chakra in the base of the spine and the coccyx. And we work with the mantra S. imagining each of those chakras lighting up along the spine, or however we see them. And now we're going to do some more transmutation movement of our creative energies, imagining them go through the chakras, feeding them. So breathing in, we mentally pronounce hum. Pausing in the third eye, and then exhales into the heart. And we repeat. With this practice, I suggest not rushing it, taking your time, imagining that energy, imagining the pathway, feeling the movement. Really enjoying the practice, loving the movement of our energies. Twice more. So, in this practice, have we identified any resistance, any ego that's come up? It could be skepticism, it could be laziness, it could be fear. It's important to acknowledge it, to understand it, so that we can move past it, not let it be a barrier to this practice. Ideally, we want to enjoy, to love the practice, to appreciate how it helps us, how it feeds our consciousness, helps us relax and to reconnect with our interior life, with those parts of our being, of our essence that we don't know, that we're not familiar with, like reconnecting with our inner family. So we don't have much time to do that, a reflection on what it is that we can give up or sacrifice or transform in able to enhance this particular practice. So I leave that as a point of reflection for you to try and go deeper. Is it a recurring element that keeps coming up when we do the practice? Don't be too critical. We want to observe it, to know it, and to work on it. All right, well, that's all we have time for in tonight's show. Thank you for joining me this evening. I hope you enjoyed the talk and the practice, and we'll catch you next week on the program. Until then, good evening.